news in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
So the first six verses of chapter 4, James is pointing to believers who were contentious, who were carnal, who were worldly, and downright enemies of God. Those are the four classes of Christians he was pointing at. Now, some of us might hear that from James and say, man, James, you're judging. You shouldn't judge. And you're being legalistic by bringing up that stuff about believers. You shouldn't be talking about that. So you shouldn't be bringing up wrongdoing. But James is not speaking to one person. He's not singling a person out. He's not saying, this person here is carnal and that person there is contentious. He's not pointing out people. He's not zeroing in on any one person. He is simply speaking to an entire group of people, and he is functioning in the doctrine of if the shoe fits. You've heard of that doctrine before? If the shoe fits, then receive it and be changed. But the natural tendency of all of us, believers, is towards the flesh. That's our natural tendency. We gravitate towards the flesh and the old sin nature. And so it is a fact that throughout the Scriptures, throughout the New Testament, and the epistles under grace, that many wrongdoings were brought up. Divisiveness in the church, and obviously the sins of immorality were brought up. All kinds of sins were brought up in the New Testament, and these are supposed to be the epistles of grace. And yet all these sins are brought up, but they're not directed at an individual, they're directed at the corporate. And if the shoe fits, then receive it from the Holy Spirit and be changed. It's not for the purpose of condemnation. It's for the purpose of challenging people to do the right thing. Challenging them while they're living on this planet, before they go to heaven, to do the right thing, to live right with God. Now, they are already right with God in terms of their positioning in Christ. They're in Christ. Christ is in them. They are complete. They are perfect. They are without blame. They have all that going for them in terms of their standing before God. But in their walk, you and I both know that there are many believers who do not walk correctly, that they involve themselves in all kinds of sins and don't even repent from them. And they just live that way. And so the preacher is always, his job, and James is doing his job, is to, from time to time, with a balance, not to overdo it, because people will get discouraged if they have to hear about their sins every week. And they'll be crawling out of church instead of walking out. And we don't want that, because it's rough on the knees. But the thing is, with a balance, is to always bring up topics like they did in the epistles, and to challenge people to do better, to live differently, to give up certain addictions, and to move on with God, and to grow up, and to become mature as a Christian, and not live in the same beggarly things we did when we first got saved. So James is doing his job here. Somebody might sit back and say, well, that's legalistic. He's judging. But he's not. He's doing his job. That's what he's supposed to be doing. Now, the natural tendency, as we said, is towards the flesh. And Psalm, and that's why one of the very well used verses in our ministry is Psalm 119:25. Psalm 119, verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. My soul has a tendency to cling to that which is below, the earth, the dust, the world, and so forth. And then it says, quicken me according to your word, because my soul has a tendency to always react and get carnal and get fleshy and do the wrong thing, but then the word of God can quicken me to do the right thing. In fact, I can't be obedient without the quickening of God's word. I don't have the capacity to obey God apart from God's word quickening me, which means he inspires me, he gives me life, he stirs me up, and he enables me to do the right thing. I need the word, which is the sword of the Spirit, to help me, to enable me to do the right thing, to be obedient to God. So without the word, I'm not going to be obedient. I pull myself out from under the word and I haven't read my Bible in a year, you're not going to be obedient. It takes the word of God to keep a person obedient. That's why when you have a troubled Christian or a backsliding Christian or a Christian who's living in various things, you're always trying to get them to come to your Bible study, come to your church, come over to your house, have a cup of tea and listen to a tape. You're always trying to get them under the word. Because you know that the word is what they need. If they're ever going to be obedient to God on this earth, they need to hear the word of God. And this has nothing to do with their salvation. They're already saved, and their salvation was a free gift given to them because of their trust in Jesus, their faith. And it's immutable. It doesn't return to God if you don't live up. The gift is yours. You're going to heaven. That's your destination. But now you've got to live for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years on the earth. And it would bless the Lord if you lived following him. So due to various levels of capacity, though, when James is preaching to his church or anyone is preaching to the church, due to the various levels of capacity in people, because some people are stubborn, nobody here, of course. Some are a little rebellious, nobody here. Rebellious, no. Some just embrace disobedience, but nobody here would do that. So there's various levels of capacity. When you preach a message, maybe if you're lucky, one or two receive it and are changed by it. And the rest just stare and smile. And they give you a big grin, but they're not going to do it. But they're going to hear it again 100 times. So at some point, God has got to work in their hearts and bring them to humility, where they'll throw away their stubbornness and throw away their rebellion and throw away the fact that they are set in their ways and they're not going to even let God Almighty change them. Which is quite something if you think about it. I'm set in my ways. But the hearing the word and being challenged to live apart from certain weaknesses and sins is something you need to hear, and something where the word of God is what gives you the enablement to walk away from it, to cast it aside, to lay aside the weights and the things that easily beset us. We have to hear the word for that. The difference is, in a grace church, and this is what's good about a grace church, amongst many things, the difference is that if you don't respond to the word and you don't obey the Lord, there's no condemnation. If you don't do it, if we preach a message on a certain subject, let's say the subject's on hospitality. Let's take an easy one. Encouraging you to be more hospitable. And as you walk out the door that Sunday morning, you're, get out of my way. Move it, stupid. You know, and you back out to your car. you haven't received the message at all, but you know what? You come back next Sunday, there's no condemnation. We're not going to sneer down our nose at you because you didn't live up to the message. It's as if you never sinned when you walk back in the door. Because we don't hold grudges, we don't condemn, we don't make a record of things, we forgive and forget instantaneously with people. And so you're living under no condemnation, you're living under grace. And so whether you receive the message or you sleep through it, there's no condemnation. And but we will continue to do that until the Lord takes us home, because that's my job, is to keep teaching until he takes me out of here. Until my tongue's gone or something, I don't know. But that's just the calling. Whether you receive it or not is between you and God. And my job is not to police you after you hear it, to check up on you, make sure you're doing it, but rather it's just to love you and to make sure that you're still living in a no condemnation atmosphere where people are not judging you and people are not condemning you. So James is doing his job. So good for James. He's the Lord's brother, his natural brother, who finally got it after he saw his little brother, or his big brother, after he saw his big brother raised from the dead. That sort of convinced him that maybe he's more than just my bro. And James became a man of God and took over the church in Jerusalem and was the pastor there. So James 4:7, remember the first six chapters, James is ripping them for their sins, challenging them to live differently. And then in James 4:7, he says this, here's what you do, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is, James is basically saying in that verse, the best defense from temptation and failure is a good offense. The best defense is a good offense. Instead of trying to fight temptation and fight these addictions and fight sin, go after God with all your heart. That's the best thing you can do. That's the thing that will, you will find deliverance in that, and you'll find resisting the devil's attacks against you will become so much easier if you just go after God with all your heart. So go after God with all your heart. That's the thing. Draw near to him in verse 8. And he will draw near to you. Now, I understand in our position in Christ, we are as close as we're ever going to be. I'm in him, he's in me. How much closer can you get? He's talking here about your heart and mind, though. I can be in Christ and my mind can be a million miles away, thinking about whatever else the world thinks about. Money, success, popularities, whatever. But my heart can be way off. But I'm in Christ, he's in me. But here he's talking about your heart and your mind. Draw near to God, and then he wants to draw near to you. He wants to have that intimate fellowship with you in the Spirit. Then, when you do that, you're much more able to do what it says to me.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens is a licensed psychologist.